so many of you here this morning. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll begin our lesson. Father, we just come before you and thank you for the voices that we have, the strength that we have to come here this morning, and that we might praise you. We thank you for your holy word that directs us in a straight path and lets us know and gives us a knowledge of you and of your salvation. We just ask that you would bless this time and help open our hearts to understand what you are teaching, that we might glorify you more and more. We ask, dear Lord, that you would have mercy on us, that you would forgive all of our sins and help us to be pleasing in your eyes. And it's through Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Well, good morning again. It's just wonderful to see y'all. We are studying Luke chapter 6. I would like us to pick up in verse 43 and read a parable that Jesus is giving us here. And there is quite a bit of wisdom packed into this little parable. And you think about, I don't know if you remember the character in the Old Testament, Solomon, who was the great king, who was known for his wisdom. Here we have Jesus Christ, who has even more wisdom. In a sense, he's the Solomon to come. And it's just really special when we come and we read his words, and it's just amazing how wise he is. So much to learn. Let's begin in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Or actually, I'm sorry, 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure in his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And let me just read this one more time because it's so short. Let's let this soak in. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure in his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, what we have here in chapter 6 is Jesus is teaching a parable. And you might ask, what is a parable? That simply is a word that speaks of a story which has, it's just an earthly story which has a spiritual or a heavenly meaning. So, Jesus is speaking in plain and easy to understand language that everybody is able to understand, especially the people of this day who are familiar with these agricultural concepts, and they grow things all the time, and they understand exactly what he is talking about. And he speaks about things that everybody knows to be true. And they are undeniable, and they're common sense realities, and it simply represents the way the world works. And, for instance, nobody in the right mind is going to go among thorn bushes and going to look for figs. And nobody is going to look for grapes among a bramble bush. You're just simply not going to do this. And I can imagine, you know, the people who are listening to Jesus say, of course, this is right. We all understand this to be true. This is the way the world works. And then in verse 45, Jesus goes on and he tells us what is the heavenly or the spiritual meaning. What is the application here of this passage? And he explains to us that just as we know that no good tree bears bad fruit, and that a bad tree cannot bear good fruit in the exact same way that a good man cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad man likewise cannot produce good fruit. And what he's teaching us here is that we can determine what type of person someone is based on their fruit. Jesus is teaching us that our fruits and our actions and our outward expressions, the things that we see on the outside, are in fact a window to the deepest part of our heart. So, very simply put, what is on the inside is what we are on the outside. This type of teaching can be unpopular and can be very offensive, and it can fly in the face of much of our popular understanding and the way the world might view the heart of man, and also false teaching. Take this example, and I think a lot of us have heard this before, but it is not uncommon, for instance, when we confront, as a Christian, we confront a sinner of the error of his ways, for him to declare that you have no right to judge me based on my sins because you do not know my heart. Has anybody heard that before? Yeah. I've heard that all the time. You cannot judge me based on my actions because you do not know what is inside my heart. And Jesus is blowing this out of the water. He is saying, this is not true. I can see exactly what is in your heart based on your fruits. Because they are testifying that, in fact, there is filth and there is dirtiness in the deep parts of your soul. And for instance, another example, you know, you might, kind of along the same lines, you might hear someone say, you know, I love the Lord, but I also love the club, or I also love the wild parties and all kinds of sin and all these things. And this is clearly opposed to what we are reading here in the Word of God. That is like saying that even though I produce rotten fruit, even though I am producing no fruit at all that is good and is pleasing, I am, at the same time, I am a good tree. And we know that that is just, it's ridiculous. It does not make sense. It's illogical. It's a contradiction. It does not make sense. And what the Word of God is teaching us is that if you love me, Jesus says, you will follow my commandments, right? If you love him with your heart, you're going to be able to see that on the outside. And also, if you don't believe me, please read the book of 1 John. This book makes it very clear who are the true disciples of Jesus Christ and who are not. And it talks about some of these same ideas that anyone who claims to be a Christian must walk in the same way as Jesus Christ walked. You cannot be a Christian and walk after the desires of the flesh and live in habitual sin and be trapped in slavery to sin and enjoy that. And, you know, another thing people say all the time is, well, I gave Jesus my heart. Well, I want us to understand that if Jesus Christ is Lord of our heart, if He has the wills to the deepest part of our soul, if He is in control, we're going to be able to see it from the outside. And it's very interesting. I think Paul is touching on this idea in Romans chapter 12. And let me just read this real quick, 1 through 2. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. But here's the key. Paul says, present your bodies. Right? This is not just, I can't just give God my heart and it not mean anything. But as a Christian, we present everything that we are to Jesus Christ. He is if He's in control of my heart, in the same way He is going to be in control of my body as well. And we need to be very careful because there's much false teaching in the day in which we live, as Brother Kelly calls it, a cool whip preaching that makes people feel comfortable and is directly opposed to the Word of God. And for instance, we have a lot of people out there who teach this idea of once saved, always saved, and specifically the doctrine of the carnal Christian, which states that a Christian can live as a slave to the devil. It does not matter what kind of fruits that they produce. Anyway, they are going to be saved regardless of what kind of fruit they produce. And when we're looking at passages like the one we're studying today, that is absurd. And that we can tell and we can have wisdom from the Word of God to know that that is simply not the case, and it is directly opposed to the Word of God, which clearly states that a good man or a Christian will produce good fruit. Jesus, He's teaching us that it is a matter of nature and kind. For instance, a grapevine will produce grapes, simply due to the fact that it is a grapevine. Likewise, Christians will produce Christian fruit according to their nature. They are Christians, and the Spirit of Christ lives in their hearts. Therefore, Christ's likeness can be seen on the outside. If Jesus lives on the inside, you will be able to see Him from the outside. Do we believe that, church?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it is simple and it is plain as day, but yet there are so many false teachers, and the devil is far more wise, far more crafty than we can ever imagine, and he wants to deceive us so that we will be condemned and we will not make it to heaven.
That's right.
And there's a sense, church, that these fruits come naturally. And as we've already given many examples, look at this example. So a tomato plant is going to produce tomatoes because it is a tomato plant. Now, a thorn bush can strain all day long and say, I'm going to produce tomatoes. I'm working so hard, I'm going to try and produce tomatoes, but a thorn bush can never produce good fruits because it is of the wrong nature. It is not a tomato plant. This is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 12:33, which is a parallel of this particular passage, which talks about make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Now, we know that the Bible teaches that when we are converted, we are given a new heart, and Jesus Christ comes and He makes His home within our heart, and He gives us a new nature. Therefore, we bear fruit after that nature. And I want us to look at one of the most important passages in the whole Bible, one you're probably familiar with, Galatians 5:22, which talks about that nature which we receive when we are converted, when we become a Christian. It's very important that we understand this so that we are not deceived. Galatians 5, chapter 5, let me start in verse 16. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So, do we understand what that's saying? Does anybody feel like they can summarize that or add to that? Yes, sir. That's a great point there, and we need to be wise, and the Word of God is all we have. It is the only thing that we have to stand upon that gives us true assurance that we are in Christ and that we are saved and we are walking according to the Spirit. And right, there is a nature that is contrary to each other. There's a nature that is of the flesh that... let's go to Romans chapter 8, and then we'll continue this thought. And if you were here Wednesday night, we studied this same thing. I want to read Romans 8, 5 through 8 through 10. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are in the you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And we see this here, a very clear distinction for those who are in the flesh, right? Their mind is set on those desires, living for the world and its pleasures and its sins. But those who have the nature of a Christian, who have Jesus Christ living within their hearts, the Spirit of Jesus, they have minds which are set on pleasing the Spirit and walking after the ways of the Spirit. And as we mentioned earlier, we cannot be deceived. There is no such thing as a Christian that lives according to the world and its desires. And there's a famous passage in Proverbs 14, verse 12, we probably heard before, and it says something very interesting. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death. Proverbs 14, chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death. And I think about that, those little stories, those illustrations that we talked about earlier about the man who says, do not judge me, you do not know my heart, right? He is deceived. He is, there is a way that seems right to him, but right in the end, it is going to lead to death. And I also think about in Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. So we cannot lean on our own understanding. I think I'm a pretty good guy. I think when I get to heaven, I'm just going to be buddy-buddy with Jesus Christ. We're pals. But rather, we have to go to the Word of God to find biblical assurance so that we might know that we are pleasing to Him. And in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I think that there are many people who are deceived as to whether or not they are going to heaven because they lack the knowledge. And that is what we are being presented with today, that the knowledge of God and what truly makes a biblical Christian and how we have assurance of our salvation. And I want to ask this question, how do we become good trees? Does anyone study? That is a wonderful example. And the Bible, right, in this passage was talking about storing up good treasure in our hearts. And the more we fill ourselves up on the Word of God, when someone pokes us, right, what's going to flow out? What's going to come out of us? It's going to, the Word of God, if we are immersed in that. And there's something even more fundamental than that, which is the need to become a Christian, right, to be converted. And it is through Christian conversion, right, that when we repent of our sins, and we die, and we are crucified to the flesh, when we identify with Him in baptism, His death, burial, and resurrection, God is pleased through this appointed way to do a work upon our hearts and to circumcise our hearts and to come and make His home within our hearts and give us a new nature which bears fruit after its kind. And that is our need this morning, to make sure that we are in Christ. Look at this example that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 13. He gives a parable about a barren fig tree. Let me read this for you. Luke 13, 6 through 9. And he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fruit tree, and I have found none. Cut it down. Why should I use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." So, I love how the Bible just flows, and so many stories can be interwoven and teach the exact same thing. And what we learn from this passage is, right, God is looking for spiritual fruit. He is desiring that of us. And we see here the patience of God, that He is so merciful to us, even when we do not produce fruit. Look what He's doing here as the master gardener. He's digging around us, and He's being patient with us, and He's giving us everything that we need to produce fruit. And we see that if in the end we do not produce fruit, if there is not spiritual fruit, God, we will have to answer to Him, right? And He will cut us down. And it only makes sense. And we must take, this is a serious subject matter we're studying this morning, and we must take this seriously. This is not a light issue. Look again at, or let's turn to the beginning of Luke. We've already studied this if you were here that Sunday. Luke chapter 3, 7 through 9, John the Baptist says something interesting here. Luke 3, 7 through 9. He said, "Therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by Him, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.'" So we have the same idea here, right? If we are not producing good fruit, God is going to cut us down. And it's only logical, right? We understand this from, if I had a fruit tree, and if after years it still was not producing fruit, right, I have no use for it. In the very same way, God is desiring fruit of His children. Sorry, did you have a comment? Yes, sir. Okay.
Scripture that you were reading about
Yeah.
I don't think that God won't chasten us or correct us.
Uh huh. And that's a very relevant scripture. You mentioned Psalms 1. It's very similar to what Brother Fred mentioned. And the psalmist there is saying, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the world, or blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And right, he's storing up good treasure within his heart. And right, he produces, it talks about his leaf not withering. He produces fruit in and out of season. And that's what we're to be as Christians, right? To be so soaked in the Word of God, to be like a tree planted by streams of living water, to be soaking up that spiritual food, and then to produce, to be producing fruit. Right? And even think about the sun scorching down the heat, and yet the leaf does not wither. And right, we can stand against all the schemes, the temptations, everything that the devil has to throw at us if we are soaked in the Word of God, just like the man in Psalms chapter 1. So I think this is a very simple lesson, a very simple parable this morning, but it is one that many are confused about, and one that we need to be very careful to heed these words of Christ, and to know that just as it is not logical for a bad tree to produce good fruit, or a good tree to produce bad fruit, in the very same way a good man brings good things out of the treasure of his heart, and a bad man produces evil out of the evil that is within his heart. And if Jesus Christ lives within us in the deepest parts of our soul, in the very same way we should see Jesus Christ on the outside. Let us not be deceived by the devil. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a good point. And okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, appreciate your comment. We're about out of time. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have a 10-minute break before our worship service. Father, we come before you and we praise your name. We thank you for the Word of God, and I just cry out to you, let us be like the man in Psalm chapter 1 who delights in your Word, who meditates on it day and night, and let us fill up the inner parts of our soul with treasure, and let us overflow with that treasure, and let the world see you, Lord, because you live within our hearts, because we are good trees. And Father, I just cry out, do not let us be deceived by the devil. You cannot be mocked. You are a holy God, a righteous judge, and you have established a holy church, dear Lord. And if we are living in sin. Please convict us, dear Lord, and let us confess our sins before you and come to you in the way which you have appointed. Father, watch over us and bless us this week, and please be pleased with our worship this morning and bless our assemblies. We just lift all these things up in Jesus' precious name. Amen.